Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios Brisbane on 102.1 FM and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Zed Games. With 10 years experience and over 500 episodes, Zed Games brings you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture. Want to reach out? Message us on Facebook at ZEVGamesAU.
My name is Evie, and it is another fantastic episode of Zed Games. We have officially crossed the 10-year mark, and we're into uncharted territory. Well, I guess it's always been uncharted territory, but whatever, I just wanted to say that. So, here we are. I'm alone again in studio. I am very used to being alone in the 4ZZZ studio now, so it is alarming, actually, that I'm this comfortable. But soon enough, 4ZZZ will feel confident to have more people in each studio, and I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing my co-hosts again. I miss them dearly, and I'm sure you probably miss hearing some different voices, but too bad. You got me. Tonight is going to be a fun night. We've got the news, of course, the weekend gaming news, and then we have a review from Rani. She's been playing a game called A Fold Apart. It's a Canadian production, Canadian development, rather, and it's quite sweet. So I'm really looking forward to hearing Rani talk about this because I wanted to play it, but we only got one review code, and I knew that Rani may have slightly more time than me, dependent, so she ended up taking it. So I'm excited to hear what she's got to say tonight. After that, down in Melbourne, Jack is down there now, and he's with New Game Plus still. So he's sent up a conversation that he had with Bay reporting on the Melbourne Global Game Jam. So we'll be hearing that later in the evening, which is pretty exciting. But yeah, that's our whole show today. So there's a lot happening. It's exciting stuff. Lots of game-related stuff, as usual, because we're a gaming show, not gambling, in case anyone just tuned in. It is video games. Yeah. It is cold in the studio. I'm freezing, so I'm super rugged up in a jumper right now. It is pretty cold in Brisbane. I think only like just last weekend it was 11 degrees or something here during the day, which hasn't really been a temperature that I felt since I was in Tasmania. So yeah, that's pretty weird. That's my weather update. All right, let's get into the news, shall we? This week in gaming news, Dungeons & Dragons Live 2020 have announced their celebrity lineup. D&D Live has partnered with the Red Nose Day charity, and from June 18th to the 20th, fans of D&D, or the celebrity players, will be able to watch a series of games played. Featuring stars like David Harbour from Stranger Things, Brandon Roth from Superman Returns, and Deborah Ann Woll from Daredevil, The Punisher, and True Blood. Other big names are Thomas Middleditch, Jeremy Crawford, Chris Perkins, Kevin Sussman, Matthew Lillard, Sam Richardson, and Karen Gillan. If you would like to look at the event, be sure to check out the Zed Games Facebook page for the link at ZEDGamesAU. The gaming grandma, Shirley Curry, is taking a break. Skyrim's one and only gaming grandma is an extremely popular video games player at the spriteful age of 84. Shirley has been playing Skyrim in a role-playing fashion for several years, with over 800,000 YouTube subscribers. Unfortunately, Shirley has been having a rough time lately and posted in her vlog over the weekend that she will no longer be uploading daily videos, only occasionally, and she'll be taking a two-week break to get her health in check. Shirley has also expressed her frustrations with trolls and some followers posting irritating or hurtful comments. Shirley has said, "I know I shouldn't let these things stress me out, but they do. From now on, I will only respond to very, very few comments." She also said, "I'm trying to get my health under control. I'm not trying to be cranky." Valorant launches on the 2nd of June. Riot Games' tactical shooter that has been taking the gaming world by storm officially releases on the 2nd of June. Valorant has been in closed beta since April, will now be available for free on PC and a majority of regions around the world. And yes, that includes Australia. Unfortunately, we missed out on the beta down under due to technical difficulties resulted from COVID-19. However, we do now officially get the final product on the 2nd of June.
For Australians who managed to gain access to Valorant's beta, Riot have advised that the game will be taken offline on May 28th, more likely the 29th. All account progress will be reset and cosmetic items will be refunded. These accounts, however, will be gifted a 20% bonus on any cosmetic currency. JB Hi-Fi have some awesome gaming deals. Sony have started a big promotion and JB are jumping on the bandwagon with some awesome offers. Until June 8th, you can grab PlayStation Plus for $24 less than it usually is. Not to mention loads of AAA games dropping in price, such as Death Stranding, Days Gone, God of War, Until Dawn, Bloodborne, and many, many more. If you'd like to check out the full list, head over to Zed Games Facebook page for more details at ZEDGamesAU. That's all this week in gaming news.
Interesting week in news there. Yeah, well, what do you know? I guess with all that's been happening, JB have decided to capitalize on some game sales. But that could also be because of PlayStation 5 being announced. So they're looking at doing sales for PS4. Makes sense. Make a bit of money off your old generation now. Don't even care about PS4, do you, Sony? No, that's not true. They've got plenty of sales, and I checked out JB earlier today, and yeah, they've got a lot going for them. So if you'd like to check that out. We're obviously not paid or sponsored by JB Hi-Fi, but I just thought I'd mention it because people are looking for games and looking for content to consume, and they're doing a pretty good deal, so check it out. Yeah. Okay, so Shirley Curry, who is the gaming grandma, when I read this piece of news this week, I was a little heartbroken because I've actually watched her content for probably the better part of a year now, and she plays Skyrim in a way that maybe not a lot of people enjoy playing themselves, because she sort of picks characters and then sort of moves through the role-playing world and this open world, and gives people different names and gives them a backstory and talks you through almost like when your grandma reads you a bedtime story, but it's not reading you a bedtime story, she's sort of making up the story as she goes, and every night is a continuation of that narrative that she's made up. And that's kind of what Shirley does with her YouTube channel, and it's really sweet to watch her both enjoy the experience but also struggle with some of the game's moments, some of the scarier parts. Skyrim freaked me out a little bit when I played. There's some jump scares and some eerie scenes. And Shirley is such a trooper, and there's lots of funny comical moments. She makes lots of people very happy around the world. And it makes me very sad to see that she's going to be taking a hiatus because people are giving her a hard time. Now, I think that's horrible. That's pretty bad. We should be respecting everyone online, regardless of age and regardless of how they present their content. If she's happy playing it the way she is, leave her alone, you know? So that's very unfortunate. You know, because of the way that she runs her sessions and her YouTube videos, it can drag on a little bit. So I understand why some people might find it, like, feel the need to share their opinion. But she's made it clear many, many times that she's not interested. So it's unfortunate that she's taking a step back from it all. On a positive note, Valorant. Yeah, that's cool. 2nd of June. I've been watching a lot of streamers play, such as Shroud, Seagull, a few Overwatch pro players now moving over to Valorant, and watching them stream it has been really exciting. I haven't obviously been able to play it because, one, didn't really come down here to Australia, but it also the beta was kind of challenging for us to get into in general. So I've been watching people enjoy it, and I personally have not been enjoying it in the same fashion because obviously it doesn't exist yet, but it does on the 2nd of June. So write that down in your calendar right now. It is free to play. It is sort of a bit of a fusion of Overwatch and Counter-Strike. So if that's your kind of thing, it's a game of patience and quick reflexes. So we'll see how that goes down. We're about to listen to something pretty cool. Rani, who is not here, has been playing a game called A Fold Apart, and it is a indie development from Canada, and I'm very jealous, so I'm excited to hear what she's got to say about this awesome little gem. So let's have a listen.
This week, I'm reviewing A Fold Apart by Lightning Rod Games. Lightning Rod Games is a indie dev in Toronto, Ontario. So, A Fold Apart is available on the Nintendo Switch, PC, and mobile, only exclusively for Apple Arcade. They are hoping to get some PlayStation 4 and Xbox One availability. But at the moment, Switch, PC, iPhone. I've been playing it on the Switch, and I have this trend going at the moment, as you guys know, of playing these super relaxed, fun little games. And A Fold Apart is that. It's also maybe one of the sadder games that I've played at the moment. It follows the story of a couple who are currently trying to do long-distance relationship. So, first of all, you can pick how you want your couple to sort of appear, whether you want male-female, sort of androgynous couple, same-sex couple. It's up to you. You can do that. They have different colors. One side of the couple is orange and one side is blue. For the purposes of this review, I'll be talking about male and female because that's sort of how I've played it, so that I could have that aspect of relatability in my own experience. So the male, he's blue. He goes off to the city to work, and the female, she's left back in their town with surrounded by lots of nature, and all of that nature is bright and airy and free, and everything he does is blue and dull, and just it's different shades of blue. There's no variety to his world, but you interact with the two of them through text messages, and you sort of get to pick a couple of options with her responses to him, and the best part about it is actually that the game is a puzzle platformer. I love puzzle platformers. It's called A Fold Apart because it's paper. The whole story takes place as if you were scrolling through paper or on a long strip of paper, and you have to fold the paper that's in front of you to try and create these platforms that are going to let you progress your character through, and you want to get the stars and you don't want to get shocked by the broken heart machines. You can fold paper over multiple times, you can unfold it and keep doing all of those sorts of things. So it takes a little bit of thought on your part sometimes, but it's really fun. I don't know, it might just be me because I like puzzle platformers, or because I like games that take me away from this all of that chaos. Even though it requires thought, it's not necessarily super intense thought on my part. It's figuring out little problems. It's problem solving. The music is equally as calming and atmospheric. It works with the different environments that you're going to find yourself in, and I honestly wasn't paying too much attention to it, and I know that's strange coming from me because I do really enjoy soundtracks for video games, and sometimes it's the thing that really, really brings me in. But I wanted to play A Fold Apart because of the story, and that is the overwhelmingly strong part of this game. The narrative is so relatable. I'm sure, maybe not everybody, has been in this sort of situation where they've been stuck in this sort of long distance, long-term relationship, or maybe you've just been separated by some sort of distance and all you have is text messaging because there are different time zones and all of that to deal with. And it is so heartbreaking to watch that unfold before your eyes, and you can't really do it. You can't change too many of the characters' options. That's still a set story, but you do get some choice. You can be a little bit more snarky or a little bit more polite. It's up to you. Like I said, it's available on the Nintendo Switch, the PC, and on the iPhone. Hopefully, though, we'll see some PS4 and some Xbox One coming soon. But for now, and as of April-ish, you can only find it on those platforms. I highly recommend it on the Switch. I don't know how to go on mobile. I don't have an iPhone, so I can't speak to that. I imagine on PC it'd be just as much, but to me, it really does lend itself to the Nintendo Switch. So if you're looking for a gentle, emotional game, A Fold Apart is the next one that you should be reaching for.
Thank you so much, Rani, for that really emotive review of A Fold Apart there. You may have heard some gentle sounds in the background. They are also from the game A Fold Apart by Riley Koenig. Please be sure to take a look at that. They're an independent developer, and it seems like it's something that's definitely worth playing for those who, especially if you can relate to having a long-distance relationship or a relationship where you've been separated. So be sure to check that one out. It's been a while since we've heard from these lovely people. This is Jack and Bay. They used to be part of Zed Games way back. Jack, not that long ago, he moved to Melbourne and he's part of New Game Plus. And both Jack and Bay were hanging out at Melbourne Global Game Jam and the play event feature. So let's be sure to listen to what they've got up to.
Hey, Cringe and B here, hanging out at the South Melbourne Town Hall. We are here for the Community Play Party, which is a follow-up to the Global Game Jam. This happened in South Melbourne a few weeks ago as of recording. You didn't go to the Global Game Jam, did you?
No, did you?
I was there. I'm going to cut to a story later on about how that went. But this event is pretty much a hands-on event, right?
Yes, we actually get to play what people have made throughout that 48 hours, you know, because people love being in a room with other people for 48 hours making one thing.
Super chill, yep. No stress at all.
Yeah.
It had a sort of like a uni campus kind of vibe.
Did it?
Walking into, well, I mean, people were also sleeping there because that's a game jam.
And healthy.
Yeah, super healthy. Yeah, they were actually, it was pretty under control, but I'm yet to play a lot of the games there. You have played some?
I played some.
There's a lot going on, so let's head on in and check it out.
With Michelle, who made Kintsugi, right?
Yeah, so in this game jam for me is a little different because I'm volunteering as well, so I didn't really have a long time to work on it. So I decided on one very simple mechanic and just repeat and just make as many levels as I could. During the intro where they show the team, they showed like different repair, and then there was that little clip where they showed Kintsugi, and I thought it was quite interesting because it's the Japanese art of repairing ceramics with gold, and it's not about covering your imperfection, it's about embracing it. And I thought that was a really good concept because, like, you know, like you fall apart, but then you could put yourself back together again, and that makes you more beautiful, like your scars define you. So yeah.
It's a really cute game, and if you make more of it, I'd love to play more of it.
All right, thank you.
A
Olivia and James, you guys worked on Tower Tussle. This is a competitive game where, I mean, the theme was repair. You'd probably be in a better position to explain it than I am.
So it's local versus. One player is the wrecker and one player is the repairer. And you're just like pitted against each other. There's a 20 second clock, so it's really short and intense. And it's all physics based. So as the wrecker, you're trying to whirl the wrecking ball around and just destroy the tower.
Yeah, I did all the programming. Olivia did the modeling and graphic design and sourcing all of the sound effects and music. I've done a few game jams before, but it's my first time working with Olivia as a partner, which is comes with some challenges. We had a being in a relationship, we're more, we can have a serious argument and actually
a lot more confident about fighting for our ideas and just more honest opinions. So that's actually really good creatively, to be able to openly argue. Whereas I feel like if I was with a stranger, I wouldn't push my ideas very much. So yeah, I think that was pretty good working together.
All right, so I'm here with Councillor Tim Baxter for City of Port Phillip. You helped do this?
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're one of the principal sponsors of this event, and we're really excited to have helped fund this through the Love My Place grants that we do. We're just wanting to have a deeper and stronger relationship with game developers and creators in our municipality.
So is there a reason you're so passionate about video games compared to, I mean, not that you're not passionate about other ones, but is there a reason that this is a little bit more direct?
For sure. Well, look, I'm a gamer, and so I've got a passion there already. But when I got onto council, I knew that there were a lot of game developers around this area. And I said to the staff, can you just find out what's the economic impact? Like, how big are they? And they went away and they came back and they said, well, digital creative arts account for about 35% of economic activity in the city of Port Phillip. And I went, that's enormous. We need to plug into this. To these people, they're generating so much, creative output. They're making money. They're employing people. Like, it's fantastic. We said, why don't we part fund the jam and the community play party, where we can take a big, beautiful public place like our South Melbourne Town Hall and invite the community to come in and play your games.
So I've heard that Port Phillip is actually has a game development action plan. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're developing our game action plan. It's going to be out later this year. And it's basically going to be our roadmap to making Port Phillip the games capital of Victoria. And we're not just talking about digital video games. We're also talking about activating our spaces through play. It's really about making games and play and the way that we interact through each other in a playful manner a real focus for our council. So that means working with the games industry. It means getting jammers to come up with creative concepts for us. It means doing things out in our streets. There's going to be so many ways it intersects with different parts of our life, and I'm really looking forward to it because it's a local government first. No other council is doing this, and we're really proud to be leaders in this way.
Awesome, that's so exciting. Thank you so much.
No worries, thank you very much, and happy jamming.
So this is the community play party at the South Melbourne Town Hall, but this isn't the actual game jam. Melbourne Global Game Jam happened at JMC Academy in South Melbourne, and I went to check it out.
Get out!
I'm Giselle Rosman. I've been running Melbourne Global Game Jam for 10 years now, and I'm also the Regional Director for Australia and New Zealand. A game jam is an event where small groups of people get together over a limited period of time to make a game generally based on a common theme. See, I've done that before. I'd started organising IGGA Melbourne, which is the International Game Developers Association. So that was in 2009, and by the end of 2010, we'd heard about this game jam thing, and it sounded like a bit of fun. I was working at La Trobe University at the time, and somehow I managed to convince them to let me host a jam there.
It was 70 then. You have 200 and something now?
Yeah, we're at about 230 this year. We maxed out the year before last. We had over 300, and I found a number that's too many. and that's it. We announce a theme, we have just announced it here in Melbourne, repair. And so now some teams have already formed, some people are still trying to find their teams, and then they all sit down and brainstorm and think, what kind of game am I thinking I want to make based on the idea of repairing? We get a lot of students jamming, and it's a great spot for them. And there are people who've been studying for 2 and 3 years and they've never finished anything, like ever finished a game. And so when you see those kids at the end of a jam and they've
got it,
they've made a shiny new thing and it wasn't there before, and they've made it all from Go to Woe, and they light up and they're just so, that was amazing. And yeah, and then I end up in tears, and then I come back again the next year so that it happens again.
I'm Ella.
And I'm Kerry. I'm working on the same game.
Our team name is Cautiously Hopeful. Not too hopeful, just like appropriately hopeful.
Cautiously.
Yes. Yeah.
Our game is called Hey.
Hey, we need to talk.
We need to talk.
We were just like, what's the most anxiety-inducing message you can get from someone? And we're like, that's the name of the game.
Yeah. That's it. We had to immediately instill that in straight away.
Yeah.
This year's theme is repair. So we basically focused on trying to repair a dysfunctional relationship, whether that works out, whether that doesn't work out, or I guess you'll have to find out.
I mean, spoiler alert, there are no happy endings here.
Basically wanted to paint a picture where you were kind of seeing this, learning about this relationship as you were trying to repair it at the same time.
Right.
And you're starting to understand where the communication breakdowns were coming from as you were trudging through the story. Yeah. And like,
you were, Ella, in charge of the sort of narrative design, and Kerry, you said production, but I was...
Yeah, I'm jack of all trades, master of none. Yeah.
Make sure that we
design.
All do stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't want to jump in straight away because I was like, I don't know what type of applicable skills I have to a game jam. But
you've had
I've been busy.
Yeah.
I have not had a moment of rest, which is a good thing.
Yes.
Because that is what my biggest fear was, having nothing to do, and that is the complete opposite of what happened.
You have so much to do.
A good big call. Thing about getting into like full-time work in the game dev community is your ability to work in a team and to effectively communicate your needs. Game jam is just a hyper-concentrated version of that. It's a pressure cooker.
A lot of people, I think, coming into game dev, they're just like, oh, I just need to be the best at art or the best at programming. But what a lot of them aren't told necessarily at uni, and I wish this was communicated more, and I think that a lot of universities are putting more work into this, is that being able to work in a team is much more valuable than being just a little bit better at the skill that you're specializing in.
Right.
Because it is such a collaborative environment, and you have to have good people skills and problem solving skills. It is so vital when you work in these huge teams with so many moving parts.
Absolutely. And you should kind of know a little bit about what each role does.
Yes, and you definitely learn that here.
Oh yeah.
My name's Jacob and I'm here at Global Game Jam 2020. I'm in the team Super Chill.
I'm Sarah. I'm also working with Super Chill. I'm the artist primarily for this, so I'm making all our 3D assets.
And we're working on a game called Now This Is Art. You play as a child who has been tasked with restoring famous classical artworks from Van Gogh and Dali, etc. But the only tools you have at your disposal are child's art and craft tools, such as glitter glue.
Yeah, and it plays kind of like MS Paint, so it's like kid picks, like that's what the controls are like. The reason our team name is Super Chill is because that's how we approach the game jam, is to just be really chill and relax about it. So it's like, we're not really stressed out, we're taking it easy, and as long as like, even what we've got right now, most of us are like, yeah, I'm happy, this is like a game and it's a thing, and whatever we can do from there is gonna be good too, so yeah.
When we were ideating our concepts, we made sure that those concepts were really, really small. We just started out working out who the protagonist was and what the goal was, and then the main thing that they do. And that was it. And that is what our entire game is. There's no other kind of conflicts or...
You're just having fun, basically. Making
art. Yeah, so...
Kid picks, man.
That influenced the level of production. We knew that there was just those kind of three things to do. This is our third.
Yeah, this is our third Global Game Jam. We did the first one together, second one separately, and then we did another game jam together that we didn't finish.
We didn't finish Ludum Dare.
I did one of the GOG Academy game jams like over a year ago. For me, it's definitely about like making sure my skills are still being polished, making sure I'm still working on things, making sure I'm adding to my portfolio where I can and meeting other game developers and like networking and just working on my career, like the start of my career basically, yeah.
I would say for me, it's about experimenting with new ideas and something that's more about expression and fun and just being creative and really flexing creative muscles. Learning some new things along the way as well is inevitable and part of it, but that's what really excites me is the experimentation and doing something that I would never take the time to explore.
And like a commercial project or something.
Exactly, and some things I've taken from game jams, not necessarily full ideas, but just how I approach something or visuals or,
like
you know,
yeah.
Exactly, that I've been able to take, even production tools and that kind of stuff,
yeah.
That I've been able to experiment with. I think a really big part of game jams are the community at the game jam and also around the game jam. And I know it's one of my favorite bits is just to be in a creative environment with so many people, A, that I just like, but that are also creative in really different ways and have
yeah.
different ideas.
Like,
that's a huge part of why game jams are valuable and enjoyable.
What I think really is so good about like game jam for like all different career stages, I guess we'll say, is that it's always good to have more on your resume in terms of like ship products if you do want to show your skill set.
Sure.
So whether you're a student or whether you're an established career human, they're all really valuable things.
100%. Mm. Like anytime I've ever been part of a judging panel for any type of like funding or applications to do something, I'm always looking for game jam written there. Like I've participated in game jam. I've done
it
this
shows
many
you
community
can make
events.
And like, you know,
yeah.
pull it together.
Mm.
Do we get artists who turn up with watercolors and stuff and we scan that into digital games, or you get, you know, programmers who decide to do some arts, and like it's just that creative flow of doing something really wacky and zany, and it doesn't matter if it's a big trash flyer, that's fine, you know, great if it's not, but if it is and you had fun along the way, then you've jammed correctly in my view.
Thank you so much, Jack and Bay, for sending that up from Melbourne for me. Yeah, Global Game Jam, that was from a time when people could gather in groups. Unfortunately, we don't have any physical gatherings of Global Game Jams or Game Jams in general at the moment, but I'm hoping that we'll be able to soon. They are a lot of fun, and I've been a part of a couple of them at university, so I can totally understand and relate to a lot of the feelings those people were talking about. And thank you so much from New Game Plus for all of that. It has been a fun episode. Thank you for tuning in and having a listen to the fantastic reviews, as well as some content sent up from Jack and Bay in Melbourne. Yeah, it's been a great episode. Lots happening, lots to come. There's also something interesting that I read earlier today is that Call of Duty plan on having another game release this year. So keep your eyes out for that. It may be a PlayStation 5 game, not sure, but that's something that's of interest as well, in case you're wondering. What else can I be playing since I'm exhausting all the game pools out there, since so many games are being sold out? Yeah, I got myself Super Smash Bros. Today, so I'm looking forward to thrashing my housemates in that game later tonight. But yeah, from everyone at Zed Games here, myself mainly, thank you so much for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to bring you the best in gaming news, reviews, community, and culture. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've got to say. On that note, have a lovely night or day, wherever you are. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to Zed Games. If you'd like to listen to more, check out our podcast on Spotify or follow us on social media at ZEDGamesAU. See you next time.